human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Just a real quick reminder. You know, you go back to 2003 when we invaded Iraq. George Bush and Dick Cheney's wanted war, their chosen war. Remember, it has cost U.S. soldiers, 4,887 U.S. soldiers their lives. It's cost us as a country trillions of dollars. And that's not to mention the more than 200,000. I know the number is disputed. It could be even much more than 200,000 Iraqi civilians killed. And again, we're still not sure for what. And now you've got the president who basically is talking about the elimination, the official elimination of 80 million people, of which they actually have a functioning military. And it just scares the bejesus out of me. But here to share some thoughts on the possibility of war with Iran, or, you know, maybe Trump's just blowing a little smoke. I've asked Salome Anderson to come talk with us. Salome is a journalist and author of The Hostage's Daughter. Salome, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, the first thing I want to throw out is just to get your thought on what would war look like with Iran. I mean, because people are comparing it to Iraq, but I've had military experts tell me, don't even think about it. It would be much worse and much more devastating.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's absolutely no doubt that this could be. I mean, the potential for destruction of this conflict really cannot be overstated. When you just consider, I mean, in Iraq, it was a contained conflict. You know, we invaded a country. It was just that country. There weren't really that many people on Saddam's side at the time. And it was contained in one country. Whereas in this case, you have Iranian proxies in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Iraq. And all of these proxies would certainly get involved in the conflict in any way that they can if Iran gave them the opportunity and the order. And so just that right there, that spreads to several other countries in the Middle East immediately. Then you have, you know, Russia's involvement, you have Saudi Arabia's involvement in the Gulf countries. This conflict has the potential to be global.
This is World War III, is what you're saying.
I mean, I hate to sound dramatic, but I can't think of another way to describe it. And look, I don't want to be, I don't want to sound like a doomsday, prophet. But at the same time, I really think it's an incredible mistake to assume that we couldn't fall into another world war just because it's been a long time since the last one.
Right. But my question, I keep coming back to, and anytime you talk about fighting or conflict or any of this, I always come back to what's the point? You know, what do we gain? And I have people tell me, well, you know, they're bad guys. And I'm going, yeah, they're bad guys. The Iranian leadership, they're bad guys. But if we were going to go and bomb every bad guy on the planet, we'd be giving out numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to see how this is in our long-term interest in any way. As we saw in Iraq, it was certainly not in our long-term interest. But that's the problem with many governments and with our government a lot, is that they don't tend to think in long term. They tend to think in very short term interests. And you have a lot of pressure on the president right now to involve himself in this war. And I think the sentiment that he doesn't really want to has some truth to it, because I think he's not inclined to start a war. It's not something that he would do maybe on his own. But you have to understand that there's a lot of influence on him, not just John Bolton, which has been reported a lot. Then you also have the influence of Israel and Saudi Arabia. And frankly, if you're hinging the impossibility of a war with Iran on Donald Trump's unchanging conviction, like, you might want to reconsider that, because he changed his mind constantly based on, you know, many, many things. So I just don't think that's enough of a reason not to worry.
Yeah, I look at John Bolton, the maniacal Lorax, and I just It's frightening. And look, I've been talking about possibility with war with Iran from the moment that they announced Bolton was possibly going to be the national security advisor, because it's been his wet dream for many years to bomb Iran preemptively, let alone to gin up some, you know, an oil tanker, a Saudi oil tanker was bombed. Who knows who did it? Probably the Saudis did it. But, you know, just looking for that Gulf of Tonkin moment, that reason to you know, fulfill that fantasy or that fetish.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's really hard in this kind of analysis to distinguish between conspiracy theories, let's say, and just things that make sense. Because, frankly, covert ops are a reality. I'm not saying what is and what isn't, but the point is that spy agencies aren't sitting around and knitting sweaters. Like, they do these things. These things happen. Now, the problem is that, A, most people don't want to consider them because it's flat-out scary, but also just that, you know, it's a thin line between probable, you know, covert ops or false flags, which do happen, and, you know, just sort of kind of crazy conspiracy theories. There's a thin line, and it's hard to know where one ends and one begins.
No, I'm with you. But, you know, here's the thing. And, you know, everyone keeps throwing back at me the aim of going into Iran, which, again, I think is a horrible prospect. But we're going to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. And, you know, and I look back to, you know, it's been reported that, you know, the Obama plan, you know, was slowing that process down, possibly stopping it. I've had people who were in Congress during the Bush years saying, look, there were deals in place that would have put inspectors on the ground. There have been numerous opportunities to make sure that Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon, but it just seems now, given, you know, this president's, you know, foreign policy negotiating skills or lack thereof, you know, I fear that, you know, it's full steam ahead.
Well, I think if their reasoning was we want to, I don't even think their reasoning is entirely we want to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, the reasons that they're giving are like these. They're saying that Iran is taking these offensive, provocative measures against the U.S. Which I think that's an incredible stretch. I don't see that. And many other people and intelligence analysts also say that's an incredible stretch. So, yes, I think they're not even using that as an excuse necessarily. Their excuses are becoming ever more flimsy. And as you said, the idea that Iran is close to a nuclear weapon has been debunked by many, many intelligence experts. The whole thing is just, it's hard to see what purpose this serves other than, you know, fulfilling some known goal for, I don't know what would make you desire that, but apparently they do.
Well, there's one, I mean, it's the John Bolton fetish. I mean, there is that. But the other part of it that I see, and look, I'm by no means a foreign policy expert, just somebody observing from the outside. And, you know, I take your opinion, you know, as qualified as anyone on this. But I see it as Saudi Arabia wanting a big part of this to cause instability for Israel as well. I mean, there's a whole lot of these pieces moving around. And to me, the evil empire, if we were bombing anybody, you know, I'd be behind going after Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, Saudi is playing a huge role in this, but also Israel. The Israeli government, Netanyahu, has been wanting a war with Iran for a long time, and I think that they would, if they were going to fight one, they would prefer to do it with us. I think there's a multiple angles of pressure on Donald Trump right now, and it's just not, it doesn't comfort me to think that, oh, well, it's not going to happen because he says it's not, you know?
Did he say it? Did he say it wasn't going? He said he hoped not.
Yeah, he says it. But he did tweet out, you know what I mean?
He did tweet out that, you know, it would be the official end of Iran if Iran wants a fight. And I believe that he's simplistic. If you watch, you know, to me, Fox News should be shut down immediately at this point, because all he has to see on Fox News is someone say that, you know, the Iranians, you know, did this, and then it's button time.
Yeah, frankly, I mean, we're dealing with a situation in which we have a president that has an entire, you know, has the world's most powerful army at his disposal, and an extremely thin skin and sensitivity to any sort of perceived slight, personal slight against him. I mean, we're in a situation where somebody, an Ayatollah, you know, says something mean about him, and God knows, you know, I mean, it's a scary situation, and I wish there were more level heads in this.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, here's the thing. I've never been to Iran. I know people who have been there. They tell me it's a very complicated place, to where the majority of people are fairly fairly moderate. I mean, they're not crazy like the leadership. In fact, you know, there's a bunch of different kind of thoughts going on, and that we're taking the most extreme. The extreme leadership of these handful of this regime, and we're putting that out as the entire country. And there's part of me that's worried about that, because look, I do believe if we attack them, you then radicalize all of the rest of the people who aren't extreme like that. And to me, that's just the worst possible scenario that you can imagine.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say that's how you create people who hate us and want to, you know, and desperate people. I mean, when you look at what we did in Iraq. I mean, we made so many missteps in that conflict that led to an entire population of desperate radical people who, you know, who wanted to destroy us. I really don't see how this is going to have somehow a more positive outcome.
No, I don't. I mean, as I've said, I'm going to be the first to tell you I'm not an expert on the area. But if the goal is we're going to bomb people who are evil. Again, there's a lot of evil in the world, and start taking numbers. And I would start with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they're definitely. I mean, it's just interesting to me what we, our government, considers bad guys. You know, I mean, for many, many reasons, you're right. Saudi Arabia is a country that, you know, you would think would be one of the first on the list, but it's all about you know, interests and who's helping who and. It's a shame because America. I like to think that we at one point had the sort of the moral high ground. Maybe not. Maybe we never did. And we just thought we did. But I think at some point we have more of a moral high ground than we do now. But we still say the same things and do the opposite. So it's no wonder that much of the world just considers us hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because of these things.
Now, I was talking with somebody the other day, and you know, we were talking about Iran. And look, in my entire lifetime, I'm 52, my entire lifetime, Iran has been front and center, and they've been a thorn in our side. I go back to, you know, the hostage situation back in the late 70s when I was a kid, and it was on the evening news every night. And, you know, it was, and obviously I'm not telling you anything you don't know about it being part of your entire life, because your father obviously was one of the hostages. But, you know, I look at this moment and go, you know, I still don't think we should be invading. I still think it's a bad idea. And I'm curious, you know, your thoughts and maybe even your father's thoughts.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, my dad was the one who was kidnapped and tortured for 7 years by an Iran-backed militia in Lebanon. And he's certainly not on the, you know, on the bandwagon to go to war with them. Yeah, they are bad guys. They've done a lot of bad things. But to be frank, our track record isn't as good as we'd like to think it is in general in that respect. So I don't see how the things that they've done merit us taking this move. And I mean, that would certainly lead to countless, countless deaths, women, children, you know, I mean, there's so much at risk here. And it's just not enough to say, okay, well, they did the things like support the group that kidnapped my father, or, you know, arm Hezbollah, or any of the things that, you know, they're using as evidence that Iran are bad guys who should be eliminated. That's just not enough reason to kill all those
right.
people.
No, you're right. But, you know, you would think if anybody would be go get him would be your father. I mean, if it were me, I think I would be, yeah, go get him.
Yeah, my dad isn't really, he's not a big fan of war. He's seen a lot of it already, and he'd prefer there not to be more.
Now, evidently your father's taken some comments on Twitter about, you know, not wanting another middle-of-the-road Democrat wanting a revolution. I find that interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, and this is the thing, I tweeted it, and you know how Twitter is, people always take things out of context. It wasn't, he didn't mean like a revolution, like a Stalin, you know, Stalinist revolution, like soldiers in the street. He meant like, you know, a political revolution, Medicare for all, equal distribution of wealth, that kind of revolution, not a violent one. But
right.
Yes, he is extremely, he's extremely in favor of things being changed and shaken up. He doesn't think that, you know, things have gone all that well for us so far. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and then you stop and you think about all of the money that we waste, and outside of the lives that would be lost, the treasury. I mean, you know, the amount of money that would go into this that we could spend much better on much better things. And if you stop, and for me, the other part of this is not just the war with Iran and all of the proxies that would come along with it, but the war that we're having with China, because China would just sit back and go ahead, stupid, squander all of your resources.
Oh yeah, and Russia as well would be a big winner in this. They sell a lot of weapons to Iran and Iranian proxies, and I don't think they would become involved on behalf of Iran, but they would happily, you know, sit back and let that play out, as, you know, and figure out a way to benefit from it. I don't think that I think the only real losers here, in terms of, I mean, well, obviously there are many, many, many people who would lose in this scenario, but the real losers are the civilians who would be killed, and nobody really seems to consider them. It's all just a political. You know, even the analysis on it is very bloodless and kind of like, oh, this, that, you know, geopolitical analysis can be quite detached sometimes and fail to consider the fact that these are innocent people. I mean, they matter, you know, they're not just like just collateral damage in whatever sort of fight that these politicians are having and these countries are having. No, they matter. They should be considered. We should think about them when we make these policies, and we just don't.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, when you look at the average messaging that goes into the others, and you can put, you know, the Iraqis, the Iranians, Mexicans, Guatemalans, you can put anybody into that. We've already dehumanized them to the point to where they don't matter anyway now. So, you know, doing away with them, I don't think would matter even then.
You're probably right. And the other thing, I was just talking to my mother about this. The other thing is Americans don't remember war, really. We haven't had a domestic war in hundreds of years. So we import our wars to other countries. So Europe remembers war still, you know, yeah. They're not going to rush headlong into one. Whereas Americans are so, insulated from the real, fallout of war, the average American. It's much easier to sort of cheer one on when you really have no idea what that means. It's just kind of a concept in faraway places where we're always supposedly winning. I mean, you know, that's debatable in the end, but you know what I mean, like where that we come out on top, and it doesn't affect anybody here, I mean, besides the families of soldiers. So it's very troubling, and there's a lot of factors that are playing into why. And the other thing is this, there's a lot of analysis, especially by like media people, and there's a lot of people who are scoffing at the idea that this could happen. You know, they're like, oh, the way it's crazy, we're not going to war. And I see this a lot, and it just, it frustrates me very much because, first of all, you look at history. I mean, you can't look at any history and think that governments don't go into stupid, pointless wars for, you know, for ridiculous reasons or things that don't make sense. I mean, war is not rational most of the time. It's not rational. It doesn't make sense, and it usually doesn't help most people, including people who start it. So I just think if that's what you're going on, everybody, it can always never happen to us until it does.
Right. No, excellent point. You know, and anytime I'm one of those people who believes war is the last option, and it shouldn't even be that, unless someone's attacking me, then we go there. But I always prescribe to the Smedley Butler analogy: war makes rich people rich and poor people dead. And at the end of it, that's to me where this would take us. And the fact that people are just kind of, you know, in this laissez-faire kind of way, talking about war and throwing it around, the possibility, that in itself scares me.
Yeah, what scares me more is the denial. It's the absolute denial that this is even a possibility. And it's like, you know, and the reasons are so flimsy. Yeah, Trump says, you know, he doesn't like war. Okay, well, Trump says he doesn't like a lot of things and then does them, you know. And just, it's just the idea that it can never happen to us. It won't happen in our lifetime, you know. But it hasn't been that long since the last devastating global conflict in the big scheme of things. So I think all the factors in this case are aligning in a really, really scary way. I mean, it's just all coming together pretty disastrously. And I'm not saying that we should, you know, run around and you know, freak out, but we have to consider this a serious, serious possibility and think about the consequences of that possibility happening, because it's looking increasingly likely at this point.
I'm with you, but let me ask you a last line of questioning then, because, you know, do you think the American people have the stomach for it? I mean, you know, you look at the how long the Iraq War went on and how long it's still going, what's still going on there. You know, people are you know, I hope are looking, remembering that, going, you know, do we really want to get into another, who knows how long, endless perpetual war scenario with a country that actually has planes that fly and guns that shoot? Do we really want to do that? And are we willing to sacrifice what a war like that, as you pointed out, multiple countries and multiple fronts, are we willing to sacrifice to support that? Because not only will it be painful for our military, ultimately it's going to have to be painful for us at home and having to maybe, I don't know, sacrifice a little bit.
Absolutely. And you know what? That is the one, you pointed something out, that's the one thing that gives me hope. You're right. I think the majority of the American people would not have the stomach for something like that. They don't want it. And that could affect the 2020 election. I think that's probably the best shot we have of this not happening, because Trump is not dumb enough to think that that the American people would be supportive of this. I don't think.
You don't think he's going to try the, hey, like George Bush did in 2004, hey, you can't change, you know, commander-in-chief midstream, you know, you don't change the horse mid-race. You don't think he'd play that?
I mean, I think it would have, I don't know that it would be super, super successful. But then again, there's the point, yeah, the majority of the American people don't have the stomach for something like that. But the majority of the American people didn't want Donald Trump to be president. And yet here we are. This isn't necessarily a representative situation here, where the majority of the American people get to decide what's best for our country. So
that is an excellent point. And I'll tell you, you know, all around scary stuff. Just to beyond concerned about where we could end up, because as I'm told, it could, who knows, with John Bolton in Trump's ear and Fox News in his eyes. Bombing could start 5 o'clock tomorrow. Scary stuff. Salome, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the thoughts. I'd love to have you come back and share some more with us in the near future.
Anytime. Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. I appreciate it. Salome Anderson. Make sure you check out her book, The Hostage's Daughter. Really, really good stuff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, our good friend Red T. Raccoon is going to share some thoughts on the possible pardon of, well, a couple of soldiers accused of war crimes. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere.